现在就先来看以利沙他是怎么被呼召出来做以利亚的学徒。
So today we're going to see how Elisha was being called to become the disciple of Elijah.
好，那么我们就来读19到21节。
So we're going to read chapter 19, verse 19 to...
这个是列王记上，我们先看列王记上，等一下再看列王记下。
Oh, so we will go to 1 Kings first.
好，我们一起来读。于是
So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat.
He was plowing
with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said.And then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate.
好，字有点小哈，抱歉。好，神让以利亚去膏以利沙作为下一个先知。
So God told Elijah to go anoint.Elisha to become the next prophet.
然后以利沙呢，他就成为以利亚的学徒，就跟随他服侍他，然后学习怎么做先知。
So Elisha becomes the disciple as he lives with Elijah and observes what he does on daily basis.
好，先知是干什么的呢
？And what does a prophet do?
我们翻成那个中文，顾名思义就觉得说，好像是他可以预先知道未来的事情，好像跟算命先生有一点关联的感觉。
So if you look at the lexicon meaning, you probably think that a prophet is the one who predicts the future.
但是呢，其实，在圣经里面，并不是旧约里面并不是这个意思。先知的工作呢，可以说是神的信差。
Actually, it's different from what the Old Testament recorded.The real meaning of prophet is being the messenger for God.
就是神有话要告诉人的时候，就告诉一个先知。
So when God has
把神的话带给指定的人或一群人。
So when God has something to tell His people, He will actually give that words to the prophet, and the prophet will go tell a certain person or a certain nation or a certain country.
那不一定是讲未来的事。
It doesn't have to be related to future events.
在那个时代，因为很多人就是背逆神。所以神就会差遣先知去叫他们回转。
Because back then a lot of people rebelled, so God uses prophet to convince those people to come back to Him.
或者是宣布审判。
Or to announce judgments.
所以先知就是神跟人之间的联系。
So prophet is that connector that bridges God and His people.
所以先知的地位应该是很崇高的。
So as we can imagine, prophet is being highly regarded.
或者是很受尊敬，但是呢，他讲的话就是应该是从神来的嘛。
And everything that comes out of a prophet's mouth should be directly coming from God.
神有时候也会差遣先知去跟一整个民族或一整个国家的人说话。
God sent the prophet to talk to the entire nation too sometimes.
那么犹太民族就一直都有先知。
And for the nation of Jewish people, they have always been having prophets.
这么说呢，先知应该是个很不错的职业了，是吗
？That sounds like being a prophet is actually a pretty promising career, isn't it?
不过要看时代。
But it also depends on what era that you're in.
在以利亚跟以利沙那个时代，做先知并不是那么拉风的事情。
But if you look at the context of when Elijah and Elisha were.It was not an easy time to be a prophet. It's not something cool to consider.
因为当时呢，以色列整个都是败坏的。
Because back then, the entire Israel nation was corrupted.
几乎每一位王都是邪恶的。
Almost all kings back then were evil.
然后带领全国拜偶像。
And they usually lead the entire country to go after false gods.
没有跟随耶和华。
Instead of actually following Jehovah God.
那么以利亚开始做先知的时候呢，那个以色列王就是亚哈。
And when Elijah was being a prophet for the nation, the king back then was Ahab.
亚哈是个非常邪恶而且残暴的王。
Ahab was a very atrocious and evil god.
上礼拜的经文我们看到他跟他的皇后耶洗别两个人就是带领全国拜假神，然后还养了假神的先知450人。
So from last week's passage, we actually read that Ahab and his queen Jezebel, they both were going after false idols, and they actually had a group of 450 prophets that led the entire nation to go after the false gods.
好，所以前情提要就是以利亚就挑战了亚哈跟450个先知，然后当着众人的面证明了耶和华是真神。
Elijah, so he went on to a challenge face to face to those 450 prophets who went after Baal to challenge them.
然后呢，他就证明了神是真神了之后呢，就杀了那450个先知。
And he proved face to face that Jehovah God is the true God, and those 450 prophets who were Baal's prophets were killed.
然后皇后耶洗别就恼羞成怒，就派人追杀以利亚。
The Queen Jezebel was so angry that he sent out people to go after Elijah to kill him.
然后以利亚就躲到一个山洞里面，非常害怕，万念俱灰。
Elijah was so scared that he hid at a cave.
然后跟神抱怨说啊，全国都没有忠心跟随神的人，只有他一个人。
He was very depressed and he complained to God, saying that there's no one in this entire continent that was faithful to you except me.
那么就是在这个地方，神跟他说，哎，有7000个人，然后就让他去找那个以利沙。
It was at that point God actually told him that I reserved 7000 people who did not worship Baal. You should go look for those people.
所以以利沙被呼召出来做先知的时候是这个时候。
So Elijah came in at that point of time.
所以以利沙决定他要做先知学徒的时候，并不是这个工作最赚钱、最有市场、最受尊敬的时候。
We can tell that Elijah came in not because he thought that, oh, being a prophet is actually very profitable and has a great future.
而是先知被追杀的时候。
Because it was at the time when prophets were being chased and being executed.
他是在一个非常艰难的情况下决定要开始做以色列的先知。
He decided to become a prophet at a time when it was the most challenging.
我们从这段经文里面可以看到，以利沙他是很舍不得父母的。
We can tell that Elijah was very close to his parents and he didn't really want to give up them.
然后以利亚也觉得很难过，因为他叫以利沙出来，这也不是他的决定，是神的决定嘛，所以
Elijah also felt bad for him because it's not Elijah's decision, it's God's decision.
所以他说，我向你做了什么呢？
So he said to Elijah, what have I done to you?
那么以利沙呢，本来是耕田的。
Elijah was a farmer.
他是稳稳当当老老实实赚钱过日子。
So being a farmer actually is a very stable job.
但是神呼召他的时候，他起来回应神的呼召。
But when God called on him, he responded.
神有时候也在我们没有想到的时候呼召我们出来服侍他。
God also sometimes calls us out when we're in the middle of something.
以利沙耕田耕到一半的时候，被神呼召。
So it was during part of the farming routine that he was called.
也许我们现在也是有事情做到一半。
Maybe we're also in the middle of something right now.
也有自己的计划。
We have our own plans.
当神呼召我们出来服侍他的时候，可能我们也是会有担忧、有恐惧，会舍不得一些东西。
When he calls upon us, we might have fears. There might be things that we don't want to give up.
但最终我们还是应该要学习以利沙顺服神的呼召。
But ultimately, we should submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to the calling like Elijah did.
有一个师母她跟我分享
A pastor's wife once shared with me
她说当初神呼召她先生出来做牧师的时候师母非常不愿意
When her husband was first called to serve the Lord she was not very willing
所以先生是预备好了可是太太没有预备好
So the husband here was ready but the wife was not
她先生是在政府机关做到很高的职位
Her husband was in a high position within the government agency.
所以很多时候他们会出席一些晚宴。
So they got to attend some gala events.
然后那个太太就会很喜欢把自己打扮得很漂亮，带着珠宝，让她先生非常有面子。
The wife likes to dress up, nicely and also wear a lot of jewelries to make her husband feel proud.
所以她听到她先生说要提前退休去服侍神，然后她要做师母，她没有办法接受。
That's why she couldn't accept the fact that her husband was being called to serve the Lord, that she herself would have to become a pastor's wife.
然后她先生就很爱她，就等她 ready.
The husband really loved the wife, so he decided to wait for his wife to get ready.
等了一年多。
It took more than a year for her to get ready.
后来终于她愿意顺服神，支持她先生去。
And finally, she agreed to the husband's husband's decision to become a pastor and decided to support him. It was at that point that the husband finally went on to go to a seminary. And then they beyond that path, even though it was hard, but it's still full of grace. Maybe God has called you upon choosing a different career to serve him. Have you ever thought about that possibility?
以利亚呼召以利沙的时候, 他当场就把牛宰了, 然后把牛肉分给人家吃。
When Elijah called Elisha, Elisha slaughtered the oxen right there and boiled the meat and gave all the meat to his people.
象征他的决心,
it really represented his determination.
他不会再去耕田。
It represented the fact that he will not go back to farming.
他要服侍神, 永不回头。
That he will serve the Lord, no going back.
因为他的国家偏离了神的道, 他要起来呼唤人们悔改转向神。
Because his entire nation has deviated from Jehovah God, so he has to rise up to call upon the people to return.
这等于就是说所有人都在往东的时候, 他要站起来叫大家往西。
It's like when everybody is going to the east, you are trying to call everybody to go to the west.
力挽狂澜.
It's against all odds.
这是多么困难的一个工作。
And how difficult is that, you can imagine.
那么如果是以利沙的父母, 可能会觉得说, 你的脑子是不是出了什么问题?
If you were parents of Elijah, you might be questioning your son, what's wrong with you?
你怎么会去选这样子的一个工作呢?
Why would you choose this career?
那在这个时候顺服神的意义又是什么呢?
And what does it mean to submit to God at this point?
反过来说,我们,当我们一个基督徒在考虑我们做什么工作,怎么样使用我们的时间的时候,
So when it comes to ourselves, what should we think about when we're thinking how God calls upon us to divide our energy and time to serve Him?
是不是我们刚刚一开始说的那些,有没有市场啦,有多少薪水啦,兴趣跟能力所在等等?
Should we use what I just mentioned, those four items? Salary packages, family expectation, etc. as the basis to consider everything.
以利沙他放弃了他的耕田事业, 然后跟随了以利亚之后,一段时间之后呢, 以利亚的工作就结束了。
So it was a little while after Elijah gave up his career as a farmer that Elijah ended his career as a prophet.
神要把以利亚带走, 然后现在我们要接下来看的经文就是以利亚升天之前的那一段经文。
God was about to take Elijah to heaven, and we're going to read several verses regarding that event.
所以这个是以利沙决定要跟随以利亚到底的经文。
So this will be a passage that tells you Elijah decides to follow this path, no turning back.
好,有一点长,好,我们起来读。
It's a little bit long, we'll read it together.
When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven
in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, say, here the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, assuredly that the God is just you live. I will not leave you, so they went down to Bethel.
The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elijah and asked,
do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elijah replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elijah, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, and surely as the Lord leaves and as you live, I will not leave you.
So they went to Jericho. 又敢在你面前起誓,我必不离开你。于是二人到了耶利哥。 住耶利哥的先知就见以利沙，对他说：“耶和华今日要接你的师傅离开你，你知道不知道？”他说：“我知道，你们不要作声。”以利亚对以利沙说：“耶和华差遣我往约旦河去，你可以在这里等候。”以利沙说：“我指着永生的耶和华，又敢在你面前起誓，我必不离开你。”于是二人一同前往。 有先知们除去了50人，远远地站在他们对面。两人在约旦河边站住，以利亚将自己的外衣卷起来，用以打水，水就左右分开，两人走干地而过。好，先到这里。 这个旅程对以利沙来说就是一个做决定的旅程。
This journey is actually a journey of decision making for Elisha.
因为神知道，因为以利沙知道神要把他的师父带到天上去了。
Because Elisha knew that God will be taking his master to heaven.
以后以色列的先知就是他。
And he will become the prophet for Israel from then on.
被追杀逼迫的人就是他。
And execution and hardships will fall onto him.
要宣讲神的话语的也是他。
And he will be the one preaching God's words.
他再也不能够躲在师父背后。
He will no longer be able to hide behind Elijah's back.
以利亚呢，他每次一到下一个地方的时候，他就跟以利沙说，诶，你不用来没关系，你在这里等我好了。
And every time when Elijah heads to a new place, Elijah actually tells Elisha that, oh, you know what, you can stay here, you don't have to follow me.
那以利亚可以说是给他一个试验，也是一个反悔的机会。
So Elijah actually provided an opportunity to test him and also gave him an opportunity to return.
如果要退出就是现在了。
And if you want to head back, that will be the time to do so.
他一共有三次机会。
He gave Elisha three times.
去伯特利的时候，去耶利哥的时候，还有去约旦河的时候。
Those three times were when they were going to Jericho, to Jordan, to
Bethel.
Oh, Bethel.
然后呢，都是以利亚可以，以利沙可以重新考虑的时候。
Those three times were when Elijah could have said no.
但是呢，他每次都说，我指着永生的耶和华，又敢在你面前起誓，我必不离开你。
But every time when they were at that point, Elijah will always say that as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.
然后他们每到一个地方呢，那个地方的先知就会也来跟以利沙确认这件事情。
And whenever they go, prophets from that local spot will also confirm that with Elisha.
所以让以利沙是不能够逃避这件事情。
So in a way that we can know that Elisha could never avoid this issue.
这是一个很沉重的决定。
It's a heavy decision to make.
但也是一个很光荣的决定。
But it's also an honor decision to make.
因为他知道他的使命是什么，就是他要服侍造天地的主。
Because it's also a very honorable mission. He knew that this mission is about to serve the God who created heaven and earth.
好，接下来呢，我们再来看就是以利亚要被接走之后的经文。
And we're going to read passage that talks about how Elijah was taken.
好，这个是他们过了约旦河以后，然后以利亚的临别的那个告别的话。
So it's the farewell after they passed Jordan.
好，我们一起来读。
When they had crossed, Elisha said to Elisha, Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elisha replied, You have asked a difficult thing. Elisha said, Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind,
said,
cried out, My father, my father, the chariots and horses of Israel, and Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore into two. Elijah then picked up Elijah's cloak and had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak and then had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked, when he shut the water, divided into right and left, and he crossed over.
OK, 以利亚对他的徒弟就是说，诶，我马上就要走了，走之前你想要我为你做什么呢？
So Elijah said to Elisha, saying, So I'm about to leave, what do you want me to do as your master?
以利沙就说了，愿感动你的灵加倍地感动我。
Elisha said, Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit.
这句话的意思呢，并不是说他要做比以利亚更厉害的先知。
This sentence doesn't mean that he wants to surpass what Elijah had done in the past.
在那个时代呢，所谓的双份继承产业的时候，长子继承有权继承双份的产业。
Back then, in history, as the oldest son in the family, they can actually receive double portions from the family when it comes to inheritance.
所以以利沙这么说的时候呢，就是说他要继承双份的灵，双份的能力。也就是说他要继承以利亚先知的职分，他是以利亚属灵的儿子。
So when Elisha said this sentence, it actually means that Elisha is the spiritual son of Elijah, that he is going to inherit the career that Elijah has.
他也就是以色列的下一个先知。
So he will become the next prophet of the nation of Israel.
那我们看到一件事情，就是虽然这是以利沙的决定，但是又不完全是以利沙的决定。
As we can see here, even though it's Elisha's decision, but it's not entirely his decision.
因为以利亚说，你所求的不一定得着。
Because Elijah said that what you are asking, you may not receive it.
这是很难的一件事，你要求的事情是很难的一件事。
What you are asking is difficult.
所以如果我离开的时候，你看见我怎么离开的，那就是神愿意；如果没看见，那就是神不愿意。
So if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not.
所以也就是说，到头来说，还是神的决定。
So ultimately, it's still God's decision.
神决定呼召谁，决定什么时候呼召。
God decides who to call on and when to call this person.
所以果然，当以利亚被火车火马接走的时候，以利沙真的看见了。
So when Elijah was taken by chariots and horses of fire, Elisha saw that.
所以神的灵就给了他。
That's why this God's spirit fell on him, fell on Elisha.
所以他走回约旦河的时候跟以利亚一样，用衣服打水，河水就分开，证明神现在与他同在了。
That's why when Elijah went to the bank of Jordan and struck the water with Elijah's coat, the water separated, and that proves that God was with him since then on.
所以以利沙确实是神所拣选的先知。
And Elisha was indeed appointed by God.
我们怎么知道呢？整理一下四项证据。
So here are four pieces of evidence.
第一个就是他通过了老师的考试啊。
First piece, he passed the test.
每次以利亚出发到下一个地方之前，就问说：“你要不要去？你不用来，你在这儿等着。”然后他都说：“绝不，我绝对要跟着你。”
Every time they go to a new place, the master always gave him an option that you can turn back if you want, you don't have to come with me, but.As a disciple, he always responded, No, I want to come with you.
然后第二个就是他要求，愿感动你的灵加倍地感动我。
And second piece is his request, saying that, May I have the double portions of your spirit.
身份上、工作上，他要接续以利亚，继续做以色列的先知。
Status-wise, career-wise, he wants to do what Elijah was doing.
第三件事情就是呢，以利亚说，你要是有看见就有，没看见就没有。
And the third piece of evidence is that Elijah told him, if you can see the miracle, then you will inherit the spirit. If not, then no.
也就是说这件事情是出于神。
So in other words, it means it's from God. It's not from Elijah to make that decision.
所以当以利亚被接走的时候，以利沙看到了这个神迹，就确认了以利沙的身份。
So when he was able to see the miracle of chariots and horses in fire, that provesThat he was stand the prophet of Israel as anointed by God.
第四件事情就是他之后以利沙也能行神迹。
Number four, the last one, we can see that Elijah was able to perform miracles too afterwards.
因为他拿了以利沙的衣服打水，河水就分开了。
Because he struck the water with Elijah's cloak, and apparently that worked, and water separated.
然后其他的先知学徒也在那边就证明了，有五十个人嘛，在那边看到，证明了他身份说。感动以利亚的灵，感动以利沙了。
And the other prophets at that location, the other 50 prophets, they saw that and they said that the spirits of Elijah is resting on Elijah.
所以从这四件事情里面，我们可以看到，有些事情是以利亚的选择，可是有些是神的主权。
So apparently, we can tell that a portion of what happened, a portion of the decision was made by Elijah, but also a portion of that was God's sovereignty.
人的选择和神的主权交织在一起。
Human-made decisions and God's sovereignty intertwined with each other.
以利沙一直是跟着以利亚，这是他的选择。
Elijah always followed Elijah, and that's his personal decision.
然后要求说感动你的灵加倍感动我，这也是以利沙说的话。
His request of double portions of the spirit was also his personal request.
但是他看到天上来的火车火马，这个就是神的主权，是神让他看见的。
But being able to see the horses and chariots of fire coming from the heaven was God's sovereignty. It was decided by God that he wants Elijah to see that.
然后他用衣服打水了之后，河水分开，这也是神的主权。
He struck the water and had the water separate with Elijah's cloak. It was God's sovereignty too, because God let him to do so.
因为只有神能够让河水分开嘛。
Only God can let water separate.
也就是说，当一个人做选择的时候呢，不是全部在他自己怎么想。
So when someone was about to make a decision, it's not entirely up to his personal thinking.
他想要读这个专业，或者是我想要做这个工作，我有什么目标？
Maybe you say, I want to study this major, I want to do that, I have this purpose, and plan A, B, C, etc.
但到最后，神有主权。
But at the end, God has his sovereignty in all this.
他有能力跟权力要求 他的门徒怎么样跟随他。
He has the right and an ability to decide how his disciples will follow him.
当我们选择顺服神的意向的时候
，When we submit ourselves，
他就回应我们。
He will respond to us，
带我们走上服侍他的路。
And lead us to the path of serving him。
就好像他赐给以利沙这个能力跟意向。
Just as how he gave Elijah this mission, this vision and his ability too.
如果我们选择服侍神，神会赐给我们一切所需要的能力。
If we choose to serve the Lord, He will give us all the competency we need.
不会让我们两手空空，什么都没有。
Instead of having our hands empty.
那么如果不顺服，神会怎么样呢？
So what happens if you choose not to obey?
记得几个礼拜以前 ，Patrick 在这边讲到约拿书那一次。
Do you remember when Patrick was up here sharing the sermon on Jonah?
约拿就是一个不顺服的先知。
Jonah was that prophet who didn't obey God.
神让他去尼尼微城，传讲神拯救的信息，然后他就不愿意去。
God told him to go to the city of Nineveh and tell people the message of gospel, and he didn't want to.
反而上了一艘船逃到。反方向最远的地方去。
He boarded on a ship and decided to go the other way.
结果很不幸遇到暴风雨。
Unfortunately, the ship was hit by a storm.
被一只大鱼吞到肚子里。
And he was swallowed into the belly of a big fish.
然后他在鱼肚子里面祷告神救他。
He prayed in that big fish's belly, saying, "God, please help me."
所以神吩咐鱼，鱼把他吐在岸上。
God demanded the fish to get him out of the belly so that he was landed on a piece of land.
所以呢，他这才去了尼尼微。
And it was then he decided, okay, I'll go to Nineveh.
当神呼召我们的时候，做某件事情的时候，很多时候我们会逃避。
A lot of times when God calls us to do something, we might want to run away.
但是其实跟神对着干是没有意义的。
But actually, working against God is nothing beneficial.
但是很多时候我们就是这么做。
But that's how we do it a lot of times.
我们明明可以顺服神的意思，按照神的教导去做，接受神的带领跟赐福。
We could have obeyed and followed God's will and received His blessings in that way.
然后我们偏不。
But we do not.
按照自己的意思去做。
We just want to go with our own way.
到最后碰了头破血流。
All the way to the end with all the trauma we finally had.
再乖乖回到神的面前。
Then we realized, oh, I probably should have head back and go to God's path for me.
我们看过很多的情况就是人偏行几路最后遇到后果了过得很痛苦。再回来问神为什么让他碰到这些事情。
We have a lot of time seeing people going through everything in their own way, and then throughout the journey, they felt like there were a lot of pain, a lot of hardships, and they questioned God, saying, "Why do you have this all happen to me?"
当我们看到以利沙的故事的时候，看到他怎么样的顺服神，但是反过来，我们要想说，我们是顺服神的吗？
So as here we see the story of Elijah doing everything in God's way. So as a reflection to ourselves, are we truly obeying God today?
我们是顺服神还是跟神对着干的人？
Are we the ones who follow God's will or are we the ones who were against that will?
如果今天你是以利沙，
If you are Elijah today,
耕田耕得好好的，你会去做先知学徒吗？
In the middle of your farming, will you be willing to go become a disciple of a prophet?
师父要走了，你会自告奋勇的去接替他吗？
When your master is about to leave, will you take the initiative to say, "I want to be your successor"?
神呼召我们的时候，常常是要我们扛起困难，接受挑战。
When God calls upon us, He usually wants us to take up the challenges.
不是天色常蓝，花香常漫。
Instead of saying, "Just go to the green pasture and lay there."
台湾有个地方叫硬汉岭。
In Taiwan, there's a mountain called the Tough Peak.
这个是我跟我妹小时候。
That's a picture of me and my sister when we were young.
好，叫硬汉岭是因为那个坡很陡很难爬。
The reason why that mountain is called the Tough Peak is because the slope was very steep and it was very hard to hike on it.
然后那个时候小的时候，我爸就带我们全家去玩。
One time, my dad took the entire family to go to that Tough Peak.
据说我们走到最后腿都在发抖。
I remember he vaguely saying that.At the end of that hiking, our legs were shaking.
那这个是顶。
So here is the peak of that mountain.
然后呢，这个石碑上面写着呢，走路要找难路走，挑担要捡重担挑。
What's written on the stone tablet was pick the difficult path and bear the heavy burden.
我觉得这个生活哲学是很有意思的。
I found it to be a very interesting life philosophy.
因为我们现在的生活哲学是相反。
Because what we currently have for the philosophy of life is totally on the different end.
就是走路要挑宽路走，挑担要拣轻的挑。
Today we all have this philosophy instilled in us saying, pick the easier path and bear the lighter burden.
越容易越好。
The easier the better.
但其实基督徒的使命不是刚好相反的吗？
But actually, as a Christian, your mission should be totally on the opposite end.
做基督徒并不是说神帮你把前面的路都铺好，然后舒舒服服的过一辈子。
Being a Christian doesn't mean that God will pave out a good path for you so that you don't have to worry about anything and have a worry-free life.
在圣经上说，跟随神的路是窄路。
In the Bible, it says this path of following the Lord is narrow.
顺服神的律法常常代表我们是要走困难的路。
Obeying God's law and obeying God's will also means that we usually will have to pick on a much tougher path.
有的时候两个选择在前面的时候，对的那个通常是比较难的那个。
When you have two options in front of you, the right one is usually the more difficult one to choose.
诚实的念书考试。
Being an honest student while you're going through all the tests.
认真的工作。
Being a conscientious worker.
谦卑的与人相处。
Having humility when you're working with people,
宽容地对待别人,
tolerating other people's mistakes,
帮助有需要的人,但是不论断他们,
helping those people in need without judging them,
就算吃亏也不做违反规定的事,
even though you might be put in a disadvantage, you still want to follow the rules,
克制自己的脾气,
restricting your own temper,
咬住自己的舌头,不把难听的话说出口。
Bite your tongue so that you are not saying anything that will hurt other people.
给人第二次甚至第三次的机会。
Give second or even third chances to others.
原谅伤害我们的人。
Forgive those who have offended us.
选择把时间跟金钱拿来服侍神，而不是完全放在自己的享受上面。
Devoting your time and energy and resources to serve the Lord instead of your personal enjoyment.
这些都是不容易的事情。
None of those were easy.
让我们来思考这个问题。
So let us think about it for a moment.
到底神希望我们怎么服侍他呢？
How does God want us to serve him?
神是否希望我们重新安排我们的时间，有更多的时间可以来学习，来装备自己，让我们更有服侍他的能力呢？
Does God want us to reprioritize our time so that we can have the time to equip ourselves and to be better prepared to serve him?
神是否呼召我们花更多的时间来祷告亲近他呢？
Did God call us out to have more time to spend with him and to get closer to him?
神是否呼召我们将这个世界的人的得救还有弱小的人的命运放在心上呢？
Did God call us out to put that concern in our heart that we care about other people's salvation, care about other people's lives?
我神学院的一个同学是台大毕业的。
I had a classmate when I was in seminary school. He was a graduate of the University of Taiwan.
智商跟情商都非常高的一个人。
He has very high IQ and EQ.
长得又帅。
And he was also very good looking.
这样的一个人才，他是想赚多少钱都有了。
For someone like him, he could make as much money as he wanted.
但是神给他的呼召是做基督教的文字工作。
But God gave him a calling to be someone who works in Christian literature.
他的梦想就是用文字来耕耘人心。
And his dream was to use literature to prepare people.
现在是一个基督徒杂志的主编。
He's now the editor-chief of a Christian magazine.
做基督徒杂志能够赚多少钱，我们可以想象一下。
We can imagine how much money you can make as a editor for a Christian magazine.
但是赚多少钱本来就不是我们基督徒选择工作的依据。
But making how much money should never be the basis for you to choose a career as Christians.
而是我做这份工作的时候能不能够荣耀神改变世界。
But rather the thought that whether I will be able to glorify the Lord and change the work while I'm doing what I'm doing.
以利沙的决定有点反映了这个硬汉领哲学。
When Elijah made his decision, it kind of reflects the philosophy of this tough peak here.
就是日子安逸的时候出来服侍神。
He decided to leave his career to serve the Lord when life was easy.
先知要被追杀的时代出来做先知学徒。
He decided to become the disciple of a prophet when prophets were being executed.
为了顺服神的旨意，回应神的呼召。
to obey and to also respond to the calling.
而这一切都是因为我们不是神，神是神，我们也不是自己做主的，神才是做主的。
He has done all this because he knew that he's not the one to make all these decisions. It was up to God to make all those decisions.
走路要找难路走，挑担要捡重担挑。
So as stated on the stone tablet up there, it says, "You shall pick the more difficult path and bear the heavy weight."
这也是基督徒的一个生活哲学。
That should also be a philosophy of life for us Christians.
因为如果我们基督徒的日子过得很舒服的时候呢，恐怕灵命是没有多少成长的。
Because when we feel like, "Oh, life is very easy for me as a Christian right now," that also means that you are not having much spiritual growth.
一个人如果他开始练健身，刚开始的时候可能会很酸痛。
So let's say if you're doing bodybuilding, you will realize at the beginning your body is very sore.
但是过了一阵子，可能习惯了某个重量了，肌肉就变强壮了，就不会酸痛。
But after a while, when your body is getting used to a certain weight, the soreness will go away.
可是这个时候呢，如果你有个教练，他可能就会来让你举更重的哑铃。
But if you have a coach, your coach might be saying, "Okay, let's increase the weight."
让你的肌肉变得更强壮。
So that you can have your muscles grow as well.
那如果说等到这个更重哑铃你也感觉不到什么东西的时候呢，它可能就会让你练别的地方的肌肉。
So if you're becoming comfortable with the heavier weight, your coach might decide to train you with other portion of your body.
总之，一个好的教练会让我们一直进步。
In one words, if this coach is a really good coach, he will push you to always make progress.
不会让我们停滞不前，甚至倒退。
He will not let you stay still or even regress.
同样的，如果你的基督徒生命一直都是过得很舒服，我不是说生活哈物质上的东西，我说基督徒的生命过得很舒服，没有属灵的酸痛，那可能表示你的属灵肌肉都已经变成肥肉了。
So I'm not saying, okay, so if you're having a very comfortable life spiritually, not materialistically, so if you have never really experienced spiritual soreness, it probably means that your spiritual muscle has all become spiritual fatty issues.
属灵的健康也岌岌可危。
And the health of your spiritual life may be a danger.
不过虽然说神会训练我们，但是他不会给我们举不动的哑铃。
Although God said that he is going to train us, he will not put us through those dumbbells that are too heavy for us to lift.
神是最好的教练。
He is the best coach.
在我们还软弱的时候，他可能会给我们一个五磅的哑铃。
So when we are still weak, he probably will hand us a 5-pound dumbbell.
再不行的人都举得起来。
So even though you are really, really weak with your muscles, you can still lift a 5-pound muscle.
等到我们在驾轻就熟的时候，就给我们一个七磅的。
When we are becoming comfortable with that 5-pound dumbbell, he might say, "Okay, let's give you a 7-pound now."
但是如果我们哪天生病了，他也会让我们休息。
But when you are sick, too sick to lift any of the dumbbells, he will also give you a break, of course.
耶稣说，凡劳苦担重担的人可以到我这里来，我就使你们得安息。我心里柔和谦卑，你们当负我的轭，学我的样式，这样你们就必得享安息。
Jesus said that, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
耶稣说我的轭是容易的，我的担子是轻省的。
Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
这是一个很有意思的悖论。
This sounds pretty paradoxical, right?
因为轭就是应该是辖制的嘛。
Because usually a yoke should be pretty difficult, should restrict you.
然后耶稣却说我的轭是容易的。
But here in the scripture it says his yoke is easy.
担子就应该是重的，有负担的意思。
Normally speaking, a burden should be heavy.
但是耶稣说我的担子是轻省的。
But Jesus said that my burden is light.
这就好比说被禁锢的自由，或者是悲伤中的喜乐，就是互相矛盾。
It's like saying limited freedom or joy within sadness, where you will have the contradictive meanings together.
但是很多时候真理就在这个看似矛盾的事物当中。
But a lot of times truth lies in something that seems very contradictory.
所以当我们的生命中有神的时候，就算是担子都变得轻省。
So what it's trying to say is that if God is in your life, yoke will become easy and burden will become light.
神要我们成长跟服侍他，但是成长 是有神的力量在支持着我们。
God wants us to obey Him and serve Him, but during this process, we also have His Spirit and His companionship inside of us.
那么我们一定可以度过。
So we can go through that.
虽然做基督徒比不做基督徒有更多的使命。
Even though, as Christians, you might have more mission to accomplish in life,
做基督徒比不做基督徒更不能偷懒。
You will have to be more diligent, more self-disciplined.
做基督徒比不做基督徒要付出更多的代价。
You might have to put on more sacrifices.
但是让我们来学习以利沙的决心。
But let us learn from Elijah in terms of determination.
将我们自己献给神，作为他合用的器皿。
And offer ourselves to the Lord as His suitable vessels.
我们来唱一首回应诗歌。
Let us sing a response hymn.
这首回应诗歌呢很简单，只有就是歌词是重复的，所以我跟大家讲一下，大家就知道怎么唱了。
This is a very easy hymn because the lyrics are repetitive.
就是我已经决定要跟随耶稣。
The lyric sounds like this: I have decided to follow Jesus.
就是这句话重复三次。
So you repeat that lyric for three times.
然后永不回头，永不回头。
And then it comes with no going back, no going back.
No turning back.
Oh, no turning back.
Yeah, okay. 好，所以请大家站。会唱的人跟我们一起。
So let us rise up and we can sing together.